And we'll be speaking with another Russian scientist shortly about her work on how nicotine wires the brain for inattention in the teenage brain, and her thoughts on the future of Russian research. But firstly, I met up with one of the speakers at the conference to find out about her work.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rosamund Langston, and I'm a behavioural neuroscientist. I've just started my own lab at the University of Dundee in Scotland. And I'm actually studying the development of memory.
Ah, memory. So fish, apparently they've only got a 7-second memory. Is that true?
No, I think it's probably more true of me than a fish. I think fish probably have a better memory. There's actually a researcher down in Oxford, and she trains zebrafish on all kinds of different memory tasks.
And what kind of memory task does she get zebrafish doing in their tank?
Well, they have to swim through mazes in their tanks. So they have like a water-based maze, and they have to choose a direction, like left and right and up and down. And she's actually studying their kind of 3D memory and navigation. So it's not something I do, but I do find it quite intriguing, the fish work there. And there's quite a fish theme going on in Siberia with our diet for the last few days. So
well, that myth has been debunked. So fish do not have a 7-second memory, and they actually swim through water mazes and remember their way, navigate their way through in order to get a little fish treat at the end of the maze. That's nice. But you don't work on fish, you work on a different system.
Yeah, so I work with laboratory rodents, so rats and mice actually. But for my main work now, I'm working on rats purely because I'm looking at development. So I'm looking at basically baby and sort of adolescent animals. And so some of the things we actually have to do, mice are just too small.
And what kind of memory test do you do on a rat?
So I'm really interested in episodic memory. So this is kind of like our memory for unique things that happen to us in our everyday lives. It's a part of the declarative memory system. So we have procedural memory and declarative memory. And procedural memory is learning how to ride a bike or play a musical instrument. So you practice it and you can do it, but you couldn't really tell someone how to do it. It's something you have to learn. Whereas declarative memory is memory for facts and events that you can kind of tell someone about. I'm interested in declarative memory, which can also be split up into memory for facts and memory for events. So events is what I'm interested in, because this is a type of memory that tends to decline first in mild cognitive impairment, like you see at the beginning of Alzheimer's disease or even Huntington's and Parkinson's disease. So the sort of type of memory that you see first declining in dementia patients. So episodic memory is memory for events that happen to you, but they're kind of very unique memories. So I might say to you, people eat breakfast in the mornings, and you would be like, yeah, I know that. And I would say, well, how do you know that? And you'd be like, well, I just know, you know, you've just learned it over time. You don't ever have to eat breakfast to know that. But if I said to you, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Where were you and who were you with? Then you have to really replay the whole scene in your mind, and you have to really remember all the different aspects. It's not a generic breakfast fact. It's like one unique event. And so it's this memory for unique events, like where did I leave my car keys last night? Where did I park my car yesterday? That's really important for people to remember and recall. And that's what people tend to have trouble with when they have episodic memory problems.
And so how do you look at this type of memory in the rat?
Well, what I actually do is effectively spot the difference for rats. The things you find in magazines where you look at two pictures and you have to circle all the different things you can find between the two pictures. We basically do that with rats, because rats, mice, pigs, dogs, all kinds of animals really like novelty. So if you make them a sort of environment to explore and you allow them to become familiar with it, and then you change something in that environment, they very quickly notice the change. And they show you that by exploring something that's changed a lot more than they explore something that stayed the same. And by measuring how much they explore something new, we can kind of assume memory for something old. So they look at something new because they remember the old things and they're not interesting anymore. So I basically put rats into environments where they get to explore toys. They get to play with rat toys. And then I'll move the toys around. I'll give them new toys. I'll change the positions of the toys. I'll try and test how long ago they saw the toys. And if we can combine all these things, it's like trying to remember who you had breakfast with, where you had breakfast, what you had for breakfast. So what toy did you see? Where did you see it? When did you see it? It's kind of my rat equivalent of episodic memory.
And you're looking in the baby pup rats at this to try and see how memory develops in the first place, and then comparing it to the older rat brain.
Yeah, that's right. So this innate sort of novelty seeking thing that rats and other rodents and other animals have is present from very young. So at the moment, I've been testing rats as young as 17 days, where they've only just really opened their eyes and started to leave the nest. They already have a preference for novel toys. So if they get a choice of a new toy or an old toy, they always choose a new toy. It's probably like a little kid. I don't have kids of my own, but I'm thinking that this is why you have to buy them so much new stuff all the time. It's because they like new stuff. But what these really small rats can't remember is where things appeared in the environment. They know if a toy is new or old, but they can't remember where they saw it. This doesn't develop until quite a lot later, like the fourth or fifth week of life. And then we can introduce more things like when did they see it, which testing box did they see it in. And the more complex you make the memory, the older it seems the rat has to be before it can actually solve the task.
And at what age does this develop in the human baby?
There's quite a lot of debate in the literature about when children develop different kinds of memories, because laboratory testing is very different from a parent saying, yes, yes, of course, my child remembers. So it's actually quite a hot debate in the literature. But very young babies can detect a novel toy from a familiar toy, and they will pick a novel toy. But apparently it's maybe more like sort of 3 or 4 years old before they can really recall a full event and all the kind of other things that went with it, the context of the event, who they were with, and this kind of information. So these kind of associative memories that involve a lot of different stimuli don't necessarily develop until kind of toddler age or a little bit older.
And how does that compare to the rat? So there, a rat's lifespan might be about 2 years, so 17 days in, or, you know, maybe a month in, or so. How does that compare to the lifespan of a human?
I'm just trying to go through the maths on that one. It's very difficult to compare directly, of course, because rats are born with their eyes closed. They open their eyes when they're 2 weeks old. They're reliant on the mother for a lot less time than a human child. But if you look just directly in terms of time scale of lifespan, I guess we're looking at about like 5% through the lifespan, which would be a similar age, a sort of 5-6 week old pup to maybe a toddler, right? So we could make an actual kind of comparison between the lifespans of the rodent and the human. So yeah, at maybe sort of 5-6 weeks old, this is when the rat pups start to develop a full kind of episodic memory. So they could tell you who they were having breakfast with and what they ate and where they were, whereas your 3-week-old pup might only remember what it had for breakfast. And that's the equivalent of your toddler or maybe 3-year-old being able to really recall a full event, whereas your little baby can only tell you if it's got a new toy or an old toy.
Are you seeing any changes in the brain that correlate with this acquisition of episodic memory skills in the rat pup?
So it's quite exciting, really, because although there have been studies done on certain types of memory in young sort of rodents, no one's ever really looked at episodic memory. And that's because there haven't been good tasks to test it. But part of my PhD was trying to develop accurate tasks to look at memory in rodents that really mirrors memory in humans. So what we're trying to do is characterize the time scale of memory development. And then as soon as we've done that, which we're starting now, we're trying to look at the anatomy of the brain and find out which brain regions are coming online at the times when these memory skills are developing. And then we're able to look in more detail and look at the mechanisms and the sort of synaptic communication between the nerve cells at these times to see how they're talking to each other and how they're making us form memories.
So setting up exciting experiments, looking at how rats respond to new toys, and then trying to find out exactly what's going on in the brain as this episodic memory develops. And then hopefully being able to apply that to a greater understanding of what goes wrong in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, for example, or stroke or Huntington's when episodic memory starts to fail. Thank you, Roz.
Thanks very much. That was great to talk to you. And I'm very excited about the conference. I have some vague memories of Russia because about 15 years ago I was in St. Petersburg. So I have my own episodic memories that I'm reliving at the moment. But I'm really looking forward to giving the talk and to be able to discuss with some Russian neuroscientists what's going on in this part of the world.
That was Dr. Rosamund Langston from Dundee University, taking a twist with neuroscience, looking at infants to gain a better understanding of brain diseases in old age.